ध्यायामोदवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयं श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। सो वी सॉ लक्ष्मीधरा proving that aham brahmasmi, I am one with Brahman, of the nature of Sachidanandam, Sachidananda Swarupam or Lakshanam. And then with respect to the world, of course, only if the world is accepted, the other qualities of all-knowing, Sarvajna, Sarvakarana, Sarvajnam, Sarvakaranam and Sarvavyap, Vyapitvam or Sarvajnatvam, Sarvakaranatvam and Sarvavyapitvam, all those come into existence only when we accept the world to be existing. So those are relative qualities of Brahman, and that also Lakshmi proved that Mayeva Udeti Chidvyomni Jagat Gandharva Pattanam Attoham Nakatam Brahma Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam. This world arises, or this world is created in me as the consciousness or space of consciousness, Chidakasham. So it is like a Gandharvanagaram. It is like a castle in space. And therefore, how am I not different from all-knowing and all-causing Brahman, which means I am all-knowing, I am all-causing, I am all-pervasive Brahman. So now comes a very, very interesting argument, interesting question. So it is agreed, like, okay, agreed that my nature is one with Brahman. But I do, like, I think I experience myself as ceasing to exist. At least the ego I ceases to exist. The body takes birth, dies. The body takes birth and then dies. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So that also happens again and again. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi dhiras tatrana muhyati. This deham, kaumaram yauvanam kumaravastha yauvanavastha jaravastha and all those the body undergoes, but the atman doesn't. So Krishna says the atman is eternal, atman never dies. Atman is eternal, Krishna says in the second chapter in many places. But the question can be that how can we know that the even as the ego or the body dies, how can we know that the Atman is eternal? So fine with I am Brahman. How can we know that the Atman or I am eternal? I am Brahman, fine. But am I eternal? So we already saw with Anubhavam, we saw with a little bit of Yukti as to how I am eternal, how like I always exist. There is no time that I don't exist. Now, a simple logical analysis is like it's called sampling technique. It's used in testing. For testing, it is used sampling. Just take a sample. So, if we want to find out I am eternal, eternal with respect to what? Eternal with respect to time. That means I never cease to exist. So, eternal with respect to time means time. So, take a sample. How do we measure time? We measure time in days. So in a day means 24 hours. So in 24 hours, if we are able to prove that I as the Atman, I as Brahman never ceases to exist, then we can extend it to time, entire time. So it makes sense. This is like fine. This is a logical approach which is possible, which is fine. So if we take one entire day, so the avastas of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. In Jagrat, I do exist. Definitely I exist. I'm always there. I as the Sakshi, I as the witness, I as the one like illumining this entire world. Yes, I do exist. Maybe now this I is associated, this I is identified with the ego, but still it does exist. Dream world? Definitely in dream world also, or in the dream state. There. In dream state, like I am always there. I am illumining the dream world, so I am there. In Sushupti, I am there. How do you know I am there? After waking up, we get an experience that I slept well. So that means I was definitely there. So that is called Pratyabhijna. That means I who am now awake was sleeping. So the I now and the I there, like both are the same. So I was definitely there. So that means in a day, I never cease to exist. So which means we can extend it to entire time as well. Of course, like what about like spanning births? Spanning births means like the same as spanning various dream lives. So in each day, like each day we dream, and each day we have a separate or different dream world, we get a different existence there, different birth of the body there, a different dream body, a different dream personality. So we surpass or we are beyond those dream lives. Similarly, with respect to this waking life as well, this will be proved later in this work. Lakshmi Dara will prove that later, but for now it is fine, like it is okay to accept that I am eternal in time, because just a sample, if I take a sample of time, I never cease to exist there, and I am consciousness. Simple logic is that we never experience cessation of consciousness. Oh, like unconscious state? Really unconscious state? Definitely no. It is unconscious state means unconscious of the world. Consciousness still exists. Oh, I was unconscious. Like yesterday I fainted and I was unconscious. Wait a minute, who was unconscious? I was unconscious. So that means you existed, but you were unconscious. So that is an illusion. It is a common illusion. It's like telling I have so much height. I have so much weight. It's an illusion. Naisargikoyam loka vyavahara. Shankara says it is loka vyavaharam. It is naisargikoyam. It is kind of naturally that usage is there. Empirical usage. It's a loka vyavaharam. It is a worldly usage, and naisargikam. It is something which is natural. Because of our vasanam, because of our ajnanam, it is natural. But I do exist, like even during unconscious state, I as consciousness definitely exists. And unconscious, when we say I was unconscious, that unconscious is with respect to the world's consciousness or existence of the world. The world ceases to exist there, not I as consciousness. So that means I am eternal, I am always there. Of course, all these are fine. I need a little bit more logical analysis. You know what, like, whatever reasons, whatever arguments you gave are fine. But I am more of a logical person. I require some more logic to get convinced. Okay, then what? Na swata pratyabhijnana niramshatva na chanyatah. Nacha ashraya vinashan me vinashasya anashrayat. So let's assume that I will cease to exist. Okay, will I? Definitely no. So then we already know the answer, that I will never cease to exist. But for now, assume, ignore the statement that I will never cease to exist. assume that I will cease to exist. So how will I cease to exist? So how will I die? So there are ways to die. So one way to die is, like, there are three ways that Lakshmidhara deals here. So one way to die is by oneself. So that means self-death. So we call it self-death. A worm dies by itself. It automatically dies by itself. You don't have to do anything. Natural death, we say to the body. When somebody dies, we say, oh, he died a natural death. I mean, naturally, automatically, self. So self, we can say in a way, self-inflicted. It's not inflicted, but it's by itself or in itself. So that is one way of dying. And another way of dying is when somebody else kills me. So that means the body, like, somebody else kills. So he died because the other person, like a terrorist, shoot him, like, and therefore he died. Shooted him, I'm sorry. So that is like by or another person, external object or external entity causes destruction. So one is self-destruction. Second is destruction caused by another person. And the third is destruction of the substratum. So there is a substratum. So there is a house. The house has a base. The base is called foundation. I think that's the word used. So foundation of the house. So if the foundation is destroyed, the house will get destroyed. So the base gets destroyed and the object gets destroyed. And here, like, we should support or substratum also is the right word. So when the substratum gets destroyed, when the rope gets destroyed, the snake automatically gets destroyed. So this is another way of getting destroyed. So these are the three ways. I don't know of any other way of getting destroyed. If somebody knows, like, we can discuss that out as well. So, though Lakshmidhara doesn't speak about any other way, which means any other way is not possible. Even if there is any other way, we'll have some or the other way to explain it and prove that I never cease to exist. So anyway, here, so if we can prove that the Atman is not destroyed by any of these three ways, then the Atman is never destroyed. So assuming that the Atman is destroyed or can be destroyed, one is by itself or in itself. Can the Atman get destroyed by or in itself? No, naswataha pratyabhijnanat. Because pratyabhijna means like relation, like continuity with respect to two thoughts. So two thoughts, like yesterday, today. And those two are connected, yesterday and today are connected with respect to I was doing something yesterday, I am doing something today. I who was doing something yesterday, I am doing something today. So that I, that pratyabhijna is always there. So that pratyabhijna or continuous, like, knowledge of oneself, continuous experience of oneself is always there. Therefore, that, like, I spuranam is always there. Therefore, the Atman or I cannot be destroyed in itself, by itself. So this might seem to be a off logic, like we may not be able to understand as to is this logically fine. It is logically fine. Objects which get destroyed by themselves or in themselves will not have this pratyabhijna. So we spoke about natural death. So if something dies naturally, that means, what does that mean? At a point, at time, like, there is one time, like, when it was there, and the next time it's not there. So there is no continuity with respect to existence or with respect to consciousness of, like, one's own existence. So, but for the self, it is always there. We just now proved that in time, the Atman is all eternal. Atman is always there. We took a sample time, and the Atman never cease to exist in that sample time or one day. Therefore, the Atman is eternal with respect to time, and there is pratyabhijna. So because of pratyabhijna, so pratyabhijnanat na swataha. Swataha means like in by itself or in itself. the Atman doesn't get destroyed because Pratyabhijnana, because Pratyabhijna, continuous puranam, continuous recollection. Recollection is what is called as smriti or memory, what we call like, I recollect something. But the difference between smriti and pratyabhijna is that smriti is like something which has happened sometime back and there is no relation now. It is something that happened sometime back, not now. It has no relation to now. Pratyabhijna is when we recollect something which happened sometime back, but there is a relation between that and now or today. So smriti is when I recollect, like when I think about something that happened on the road. Pratyabhijna is when I recollect the same incident with respect to me. So I who witnessed that accident am there now today alive. So that is pratyabhijna. Just recollecting the incident is smriti, because that smriti, whatever is there then, is not there now. So when we speak about the object or the incident or the world at that time and now, there's no relation at all. When we speak about the self is the same. So that's why pratyabhijna is possible only with respect to the self. Pratyabhijna is not possible. Rahu grasta divakarendu sadrushu maya samachadanat. So there Shankara speaks about Sushupti Avastha and ya pratyabhijnayate. The Atman who has pratyabhijna after waking up from sleep, that is what he says. So pratyabhijna means there should be a relation, there should be something which is common across time, that is what pratyabhijna. I hope this is clear. Is there any confusion here or? Okay, I take it, no confusion. So, nasvataha pratyabhijnanat. So, there is no destruction or no self-destruction because of pratyabhijna. So, again, like we can say, me vinashah syad. So, vinashah syad, me. Vinashah or nasham, me for me, syad, can be or is possible. So, that it can be added to these three types of destruction which are negated. So for me it cannot happen. So vinasham for me, na swataha. So swataha it cannot happen. And the next is anyataha, through another. So somebody can kill me, somebody can shoot me, and all those cannot happen because if somebody has to shoot me, somebody has to hit me, then that requires contact. Somebody has to come in contact with me, and such contact means I need to have parts. So only objects with parts can have contact. We cannot have contact with Akasham, space, because space is partless. I can hold this laptop, I can hold the table, I can hold the glass because I have parts, like my hand holds the glass. The glass has parts. Glass is made up of parts. So that which has parts can have contact. I am partless like the infinite space. So akashavad nityam sarvagatam. So I am like akasham, nityam eternal and sarvagatam eternal, because there is no parts in me, parts for me. So akasham, the shastras also say atmanah akashah or akasham. Akasha sambhutam, I guess. Yeah, from the Atman comes Akasham. The Akasham came from the Atman. So if Akasham is partless, the Atman also has to be partless. So which means that I am partless. And since I am partless, I cannot have contact with anything else. And that is why asangohi I am purushah. This purusha is asangam. Why is this purusha asangam? Why is the Atman called Sakshi? It's not because like the Atman decides that, Sakshi, this is better. Rather than getting involved in something, like involvement means like it gives me pain. Therefore, let me be a witness. The Atman doesn't have such a choice. The Atman cannot do that. Atman cannot decide for itself that let me be Sakshi for today. The Atman cannot. The Atman is by itself or in itself partless. And since it is partless, there is no other option. The Atman can only be a witness. Atman can only do that. Amrita Swarupananda can only sing. Can he jog? Can he like run like 100 miles? Like can he all of a sudden decide that he wants to become the next Sachin Tendulkar? Can he do that? Yeah, maybe if he has a runner, then he can. But if he doesn't have a runner, can he? No. There's no option. There's no possibility. Okay. Well, then isn't that valid for Amma? Definitely no. So we can't go by looks. Looks are always deceiving. There are times like when you can see Amma coming down from her room in Amritapuri, and then like it is almost like 3 minutes or 4 minutes walk to the stage. So we like people will be like rushing. So you know Amma is, whenever Amma is going to come, you know that people will stand up, people will be rushing. So Amma comes like comes down the stairs. Within 1 second you blink your eye and you'll see that Amma is already on stage. So you can't go by looks, of course, with Amrita Swarupananda also that applies, but I'm just giving an example. So there is no option, there's no choice for the Atman, because it is always asangam, it is always partless. Since it is partless, there cannot be any contact or samyogam. Samyogam means contact. So contact is not possible. So that is why we say, like that is why Vedanta says that the Atman is ever blissful. Sorrow comes when there is sense contact. Sensual pleasures lead to sorrow. Ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. So samsparshaja bhogam, the bhogam with respect to sense contact will lead to sorrow. But Krishna is compassionate, therefore he doesn't go to that extent of saying that Atman cannot have any dukkham. Balakrishna Nair boldly takes that particular step. Oh, sir, like why am I suffering? Oh, suffering? What suffering? There's only Anandam. Ramana Maharshi, as Ramana Maharshi used to say, there's only Anandam. There's only Anandam. Why? Because the Atman. So Krishna doesn't take that high step because Arjuna is not... Arjuna's intellect is not that sharp like us, so he cannot understand Ajatiwadam or such high perspectives and all. Therefore, Krishna comes to a lower level and says, don't get deluded into all this, don't enjoy sensual pleasures because those will cause sorrow. But truth is, can you get affected by sensual pleasures? Definitely no. I'm the Atman, I cannot have any sense contact, then I've always sorrow. How can sorrow affect me? Sorrow taint me. Aham asmi sadavami kadachit naham apriyah. That means I am Ananda Swarupam, then how can I suffer? I cannot. So that is the purpose of this work. And that is why this work is a kind of a logical work. Not just logical work, it is also a work which goes to the paramarthika level rather than just the empirical or normal viewpoint. So anyway, so the Atman doesn't have any choice. So Atman doesn't have any contact. And if doesn't have any contact, then how can something like affect it? How can something destroy it? It cannot. Therefore, niramshatvat na cha anyataha cha, and anyataha, anyataha means by other means or through any other object. By any other object, through any other object, external factor or external object. Na. No. Why? Niramshatvat. Because I am niramsham. I don't have amsham. I don't have parts. Or does the Shastra say I don't have parts? Anadityat nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayah. So anadi nirgunam. So anadi and nirgunam means there itself partless comes. And Shweta Shvetara Upanishad speaks about Atman as nishkalam. Mundaka Upanishad speaks about nishkalam dhyayamanaha. Nishkalam means partless kalam. Kala means part. So gata kala panchadasha pravishtaha devascha sarve prati devatasu. That's one of the final statements of Mundaka Upanishad. So kala means like parts only. So Atman doesn't have part. So niramshatva, since it doesn't have part, therefore anyataha na. By any other like external object, external influence. So self-destruction is not possible because the Atman is, there is always pratyabhijna, there is always furanam. And other destruction by other object is not possible because niramsham, Because I am partless. Now what about like ashrayam? Let's say like the base of the Atman gets destroyed. So you know what, like the Atman depends on Vishnu. If Vishnu is destroyed, Atman will be destroyed. Valid point. The Atman depends on Brahman. Brahman is destroyed, Atman will be destroyed. In the first place, Brahman cannot be destroyed. Vishnu cannot be destroyed. In the second place, like Brahman and Vishnu are the same. That is what we already spoke about now. So there is no point of telling that. If that has not gone into one's mind, there is no point continuing at all. Such people have to go back and learn it, learn the second shloka again. Atoham or Brahmaivaham Atasiddham. It is proven that I am Brahman, so that has to be learned again. So, is there any base for the Atman? The Atman is Swayam Jyoti. We said like the Atman is Niramsham. Niramsham itself means no contact. No contact means how can there be any base? There can be base only in one way. If the Atman itself is an illusion and it has a base which is its substratum. But can we prove that the Atman is an illusion? Any illusion will always change, is subject to change. Is the Atman subject to change? No, the Atman is not subject to change. Since the Atman is not subject to change, so don't ask. What change? Illusion means that which changes. Oh, that which changes means illusions have parts. Do illusion have parts? Illusion means it doesn't even exist. But if it helps, illusion can have parts. Definitely illusion can have parts. The snake that we see in the rope, like sometime, like after watching in a sci-fi movie, after watching Anaconda, or like after watching Jurassic Park, we'll see a snake in the rope, and not a normal snake, a snake which has hands. Or like Harry Potter, after watching Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, or like any other Chamber of Secrets, any of those movies, if we see the rope, we will see snake in the rope, the snake which has parts, which has legs, the snake which opens its mouth and fire is coming out. We will run from there. Do people really run? Of course. People like see ghosts and they run. Do they really see ghosts? Few people do. Others, they don't see ghosts, but they are afraid and they run. So, it is possible. Like, illusion means it doesn't exist. So, anything is possible there. Anything and everything is possible. That's why we see the world like as it is today. And like, whatever, like, we may think like, if something is like, is this possible really? Anything is possible in the world. Anything is possible. We see that. Can the economy go down? Definitely it has gone down. Can the financial market go down so much? Definitely there was a time when the Dow Industrials were very high. Now it has come to a 20-year, 30-year low. Is it possible? Definitely it's possible. So it is possible, like when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were affected by the atom bomb, people would have thought like, is this possible? Definitely. 8/11, before like 9/11, sorry, before 9/11, people would have thought like, is can terrorists attack US? People would have thought no, but it did affect in a huge way. I'm still building, like wherever the World Trade Center stood, like the building or construction is still going on. So that means it is possible. Anything is possible because it is Gandharva Pattanam. Gandharva Pattanam means anything, literally anything is possible. Anything and everything is possible. Oh, do the Shastras say anything is possible? Yes, definitely. Vishwamitra was able to create a new Swargam. And Indra was not able to file a IPR violation in court. Why? Because it is an illusion. Anything is possible. Anything and everything is possible. Can Ishvara come out of a pillar? Very much possible. As we saw, as like Hiranyakashipu realized. So anything is possible. Like anything is possible with respect to the world, which is only an illusion. So the Atman has to be an illusion in order for it to get destroyed when the substratum gets destroyed. But the Atman is not an illusion. Atman is always there. We already said, like, pratyabhijna, the Atman is always there. So there is no base or substratum for the Atman. Therefore, so ashraya vinashat me vinashah syat. So through ashraya vinasham, so ashrayam means substratum or base or support. So through ashraya vinasham, through the destruction of the base, me vinashah syat. My vinasham, my destruction cannot happen, na, cannot happen. Why? Anashraya, because I don't have any support. I am supportless. And such supportless entity is what the Shastras call as Swayam Prakasham or Swayam Jyoti. Anything with respect to Swayam Bhu, Ishvara is called Swayam Bhu. Swayam Bhu Pari Bhu Yata Tatyato Artan Yadadat Shashvati Bhya Samabhya. Sapariyaga Shukramakayam Avrinamasta Asnaviram Shuddhamapapaviddham Kavirmanishihi Paribhuhu Swayambhuhu. So Swayambhu, Ishavasya Upanishad speaks about the Atman as Swayambhu. Swayambhu means here Swayam Bhavati, it is Swayambhu. One who was born of himself, that is Swayambhu. Born of himself means no birth at all. Like automatically came into existence. So there is no support for the Atman. So that is why the Shastras always say that we should not have any ego, we should not have any ragadvesham. The Shastras don't want to give us logical reasoning behind that, because logical reasoning can be tricky, can be confusing, can distract us. Therefore, they don't give us any of those reasoning. Why is it said that, like, everything is one Ishvara, don't have any ragadvesham, be content with yourself? Simple. Because that is my nature. Because I don't depend on anything. Dependence. If I depend on something, then I cannot get happiness. I don't depend, I can't depend on anything, because I am independent. That which is independent, it will not depend on anything. And will not is different. In this case, the Atman cannot depend on anything, because there is no support, there is no base, there is no substratum, there is no dependency for the Atman. Therefore, the Atman cannot be destroyed, or I cannot be destroyed through destruction of the base or the substratum. Another reason we can say is base or substratum support can also mean gunas or qualities. So if there are qualities, qualities can be destroyed. So qualities or gunas, height can be destroyed or negated in some way, and then, like, it will affect us, it will destroy us. But in this case, nothing like that can happen, because the Atman doesn't have any qualities, or Atman is nirgunam. So you can, like, I think Yogananda speaks about the substratum of pot, a substratum of mud and pot. So pot can be like, if mud is destroyed, pot will be destroyed, because pot is an illusion. Pot is based on, pot is dependent on the mud. So in this case, the world can be destroyed, because the world is an illusion. The world depends on the Atman. The Atman doesn't depend on the world. The Atman doesn't depend on anything at all. So since the Atman is independent, stands by itself, therefore destruction of the Atman is not at all possible, which means that I never cease to exist. Na bhavo vidyate satah. So I am that sat which never ceases to exist, or abhavam, non-existence of myself doesn't, it never exists. There is no time, no place, no state where I cease to exist, which means that I am always existing. There is no perishing for me. We don't have to even doubt at all. So, like, is this, or does, like, whatever you have said, it seems to be a new concept. It's kind of interesting, and it's kind of inspiring. So Lakshmidhara immediately reiterates or like takes one step behind and says, "Wait a second, my friend. This is not something new. This is something which has been explained clearly in the Shastras. The scriptures do speak about it. A wise person, an intelligent person will be able to find out, will be able to recollect the scriptures, will be able to understand, identify the scriptural statements where the same concept is being explained." So the second, the way niramshatvat, or destruction through other means that has been explained by Krishna. So Krishna has explained that in Gita, and Lakshmidhara gives the same shloka using different words. So Krishna speaks about this concept or this particular aspect in the 23rd shloka of the second chapter. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakah, na chainam kledayantyapo, na shoshayati marutah. So if we speak or if we try to elaborate on destruction by other means, so what are the other means or means through which destruction can happen? The simplest is with respect to shastras, weapons, nuclear weapon, bomb or gun, revolver or bullets, all those are weapons. So weapon, can I be killed through weapons? So Arjuna has the same doubt that won't I cease to exist? Will I not perish at some point of time? So Krishna says, "Nainam chindanti shastrani yenam." Yenam means this Atman. Shastrani na chindanti. Shastras, weapons don't chindanti. Chindanti means the weapons don't harm, weapons don't destroy, inflict this Atman. Again, why? Partless, we already know that. And nainam dahati pavakah means fire. Dahati, dahanam, fire burns. Well, can the fire burn? Fire cannot burn. Na chainam kledayanti apaha. Water, can water wet it? Definitely no. Na shoshayati marutah. Can air dry it? Definitely no. And Keno Upanishad gives the beautiful story where Indra and other devatas, after the Palai Madanam, and they get Amritam, Amritam after churning of the ocean. So they get Amritam and then they get the ego that they did something or they are doing something. So therefore, Ishvara decides to destroy the ego, and thereby Ishvara comes in the form of a shariri and like a divine power or brightness. So Indra sends a few people, I think fire and then air, I think Agni and Vayu go. So then Agni and Vayu have the ego that they can do something. So this power, it creates a small grass and says, "Come on, burn it. Bring air and uproot it." And they are not able to do it. So that means that such a small entity cannot be changed. So similar is the case with the Atman. The Atman cannot be affected or afflicted at all because the Atman is partless. And though Lakshmidhara uses the same shloka, he gives a very beautiful reason other than being partless here. So na shosha plosha vikledas cheda chinnabaso mama. Na shosha, 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 we know drying. Plosha, plosha means burning. Vikledaha means wetting. Cheda, chedaha, chedaha means it is cutting or weapon, inflicting harm through weapon. And chinnabasaha, so of me, chidnabasaha, that is splitting there. So chinnabaso mama, mama, for me, చిన్నబస చిన్నబస చిత్ నబస నబస నబ మీన్స్ ఆకాశం. సో చిత్ మీన్స్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. సో కాన్షియస్నెస్ స్పేస్ చిత్ వ్యోమ్ నీ ద సేమ్ మీనింగ్ హియర్. సో న సో న సో బై హూమ్ అనిల అగ్ని అంబః శస్త్రై. సో అనిల అగ్ని అంబః. సో అనిల అనిల మీన్స్ విండ్. సో విండ్ ఆర్ ఎయిర్ కెనాట్ డ్రై మీ. అనిల న శోష అగ్ని. సో అగ్ని న ప్లోష అంబః న విక్లేద శస్త్రై న ఛేదా. సో ద మీనింగ్స్ ఆర్ సింపుల్. అగ్ని ఇస్ ఫైర్. Ambaha is like ambu or water. Shastra is weapon. So none of these can happen. So why can't it happen? One is because I am partless. And second is satyai. Satyaihi api. So satyaihi api means even though, even when these are real. So think about real weapon, real wind, real fire, real water. So real, all those cannot harm me. I am partless. If I am partless, like real, any real weapon cannot harm me. But are these weapons, are the wind, fire, water, etc. real? No, definitely no. Kimuta kalpitehi. If satyehi api, even when they are real, they cannot harm me, then kimuta kalpitehi. So kim muta, then how then, like kalpitaihi, by this kalpitam, imagined, how do we know they are imagined? Mayevo deti chidvyomni jagat gandharva pattanam. So this jagat is gandharva nagaram. It is something and it is an imagination, imaginary creation. So it is like telling my body, like I got like somebody inflicted harm upon me, like somebody hit me with a sword and I got a cut in my hand when I was dreaming. Is it possible? No. In real, like even real objects cannot harm me, but in this case, like Lakshmidra goes one step further and says, in real also they cannot harm me because I am partless. But are they real? No. That means he goes one step further to say that definitely nothing can harm me. So it means that he doesn't stop there. He says, like, he goes one step further to say that I cannot, I will never perish to exist. Which means that don't even worry. So if one reason, like once, like Amma says, okay, don't worry, my dear child. It's okay. But think that, okay, don't worry at all. So Amma says, don't worry. Don't worry at all. Then like one more, she is telling twice. So that means we don't have to worry at all. So similarly here, one step further, all these are only kalpitam, all these are only imaginary, all these are not a real kalpitalam. It is Gandharva Nagaram. Such a Gandharva Nagaram cannot harm me, can never harm me. So which means that I always exist, I am eternal. So that means all of these like are not real. So nothing is real. Whatever is real is one aspect, that is Sat, that is real. Everything else is Asat. Asat means non-existing. If we are afraid of accepting that the world is non-existent, then at least accept that it is only temporary, it is only an illusion, it is changing. So illusion or mithya, as Amma says, like some words are people hate some words or people are afraid of some words. So if it is said about Tyagam, people are afraid about the word Tyagam. So Tyagam means like sannyasam. So people are afraid of those words. So like Amma says, it's Tyagam means just surrender. So if you say surrender, arpanam, then people are fine with it. So Jnanam, immediately people be afraid. Oh no, I can't. But Jnanam, no, don't even go there. But if you say like we are going to talk about bhakti, then immediately people will come running. So people listening to Paramartha's discourses, people listening to Balakrishna Nair's discourses on Mandukya Upanishad or any other thing, like, are very less. Instead, speak about bhakti sutras, speak about Tulasi Ramayanam, people will come running. Bhagavatam. People will be running, like millions of people, like or lakhs of people. Of course, millions and lakhs are two different like systems, or the terms used in two different systems. So lakhs of people go for Bhagavatam. If there is a Bhagavata Saptaham, lakhs of people go. But when it comes to Vedantam, people are afraid. So people are afraid of terms. So if we can, like, Mithya means people get afraid about Mithya. So therefore, if we are also one among them, that we get afraid about Mithya, or we interact with people who are afraid of Mithya, then be diplomatic and use the word Anityam, changing. Changing world cannot give happiness. So Krishna, being a compassionate master, says Anityam Asukam Lokam. Krishna would have said clearly Asat, Mithya Asat Lokam, he could have said. But many people like Arjuna will run away. The next day, like you sit, you come to the dais and sit there like ready to speak, there'll be nobody there. So that is what will happen there for Krishna, for the benefit of people, not because Krishna wants a lot of followers. As Paramatma always says, Krishna had just one person. Krishna, today like we have like many of the Prabhashakas, even though they don't speak about ultimate truth, like such Prabhashakas who speak about action, who speak about normal actions, Nitya Naimittika Karmas and all those people, there are a lot of followers, like a lot of people coming to hear all those, but Krishna had just one. So Krishna was not behind having a lot of followers, that like it was not with that intention that he explains things in a simpler way. He explains in a simpler way so that like there will be a lot of people coming and people will be saved. Oh, you said it is Kalpita Lokam, then whom to save? Oh, in that case, why are you like even questioning? Why are you even learning Vedanta if it is Kalpitam? So to an extent, Kalpitam, this Kalpita Lokam, if we experience this Gandharva Nagaram, then we have to find out the way out. The way out is also in the Gandharva Nagaram. So as we like, if we see in many movies and all, so like you started this problem, but like you can end it as well. So that caused it, like, but that also has a solution to it. Mummy, the movie Mummy comes to mind. Oh, the immortal, or like the mummy, the great mummy was awakened or wakened up, or whatever is the right word. So he rose from dead, and because like somebody read some spells in the book. So if this, like, if there are spells to wake him up, there are spells to kill him as well. But that is part of the world again in the form of Shastras. So Shastras do give us ways to come out of this Gandharva Nagaram. So until then, like, we have to accept the Gandharva Nagaram. As long as like there is nothing wrong in accepting Gandharva Nagaram, there is nothing wrong in brooding over Gandharva Nagaram, there is nothing wrong in having sensual pleasures in the world, as long as we know it to be Gandharva Nagaram. So if we know this world to be Gandharva Nagaram, then though we may enjoy it, we know it is momentary, we know it is temporary, therefore we will never cross the limit. So if we don't know, like if we don't remember that this Gandharva Nagaram is not real, or it's not temporary, then we will get obsessed with the world, and such obsession is kamam, will lead to krodham, will lead to moham, smriti bhramsham, buddhi nasham, pranashyati, finally nasham. So that is what will happen. So if we know this Gandharva, this world to be Gandharva Nagaram, so if we remember that the world is Gandharva Nagaram, how can we get attached? We cannot get attached. We'll still do things. You know what, like summer has started, the beaches in Florida, I think I should visit them. Well and good, nothing wrong in that, go and visit the beaches. But if you go and visit the beaches and somebody slaps you there, then you cannot like cry or say, oh, this is unfair, this Gandharva Nagaram, like I was just enjoying and then like somebody beat me up. That's also part of the world. So if that is also part of Gandharva Nagaram. Remember that also to be Gandharva Nagaram. Then slap the person back again if you are bold enough, or run away. Or when he is coming to slap you, immediately run away. So do whatever is required. So it's not about the action. Remembering that this world is Gandharva Nagaram means nothing can harm us, nothing can taint us, nothing can give us sorrow. So that's why Amma says that happiness is also a resolution. So unless we say, like we give the mind the chance to suffer, chance to be sad, the mind will not be sad. Mind cannot be sad. We cannot be sad as long as we accept ourselves to be or become sad, because our very nature is Brahmaiva Ahamatah Siddham Sachidananda Lakshanam. We are Brahman, we are that one Brahman, therefore we cannot suffer. We never cease to exist. So such a state, like such an eternal blissful state, we are always that, therefore there is no sorrow at all. So remembering this, Yat Karoshi Yad Ashnasi Yad Juhoshi Dadasi Yad Yat Tapasyasi Kaunteya Tat Kurushvam Adarpanam. So whatever you do, whatever action you do, whether it is good action or bad action, or all those actions, do as an offering to Ishvara. So if we do actions as an offering to Ishvara, then we will not suffer at all. We will ever be blissful. We will be able to lead life in a contented, blissful way if we remember this Gandharva Nagaram. So even if we are not remembering that Aham Brahmasmi in the second shloka, Gandharva Nagaram, we should remember the third shloka of Gandharva Nagaram. If we remember Gandharva Nagaram, most of the problems that we are facing will instantly be solved. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to remember this world as Gandharva Nagaram. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.